I'm hoping that extemporizing is a great idea, and kind of thinking of several prayers like the set aside prayer and the just any number of prayers, and kind of putting my hand in yours, because together I'm hoping we can do what I can't do alone, and that's speaking today. What comes to mind first is newcomers, and thinking about when I was a newcomer and someone who's relatively new to OA sent me this beautiful writing this morning, and she said, I'm learning how to love myself, but before I learned how, I've started to understand that it's God and OA fellows, and even our bodies are loving us, even when we don't ha understand how to do it ourselves. And it struck me so much, and it's been a struggle I've experienced, that I had so many expectations that I would be given all the answers, that I would know intuitively how to do this without any guidance from anyone else, that suddenly this magic would take place. And 5 years down the road, I see it from a newcomer saying, I'm seeing hell. I'm getting it. I thought, man, being a newcomer is a great place to be this morning. And I think knowing what to share and what might be of help to someone today would be great. And I am relying on God and you all, and all the times you've let me share, all the times I've struggled, all the times I've finally gotten to be honest and gotten a lot of support, a lot of love, a lot of assurance that this is a good place for me to be. And it's guided me a lot recently. After a year of not being honest about relapse, I came in February and said, I can't lie to myself anymore. I can't lie to you all. And lying sounds harsh, but what I've done is just try to justify a year's worth of, hey, I need this many meals and this many snacks. I need these kinds of food. I need, and so much of my behavior and the foods I was choosing were red light. And I kept thinking, I've got this great spiritual program I'm being led. And finally, one day I just went, it's really not about, excuse me, it's more about me leaning into myself, not a spiritual program, not listening, not wanting to admit my powerlessness. And I feel ashamed to think about people I was trying to sponsor, and finally had to get honest with them and say, this hasn't worked because I'm not listening. I'm not able to admit this is where I am today and coming on here and speaking my truth. Even though it's really hard. I guess we all think we're going to get kicked out, right? We're going to be like, ooh, whoa, I'm not going to hang out with her. Whoa, that's just way over the top. And then finally calming down with it and saying, this is maybe exactly where I need to be able to listen more, to be able to learn more, to be able to see better how this works, to wake up, to have a whole brand new experience with all these things. It's the set aside prayer in motion. And I urge everybody who doesn't know that prayer, look it up right now. Tune me out, put me on mute. I think that really what I want to say is that, and the OA promise, and what my friend wrote to me today about learning that she is loved was those things. It was particularly the OA promise. I'm learning how to put my hand in yours. I'm learning how to extend my hand. I'm learning how to see that I'm not alone in this. I don't have to lie. And let me go back to my beginnings in this, just to qualify as a speaker. I think my experience with overeating started when I was very young. And I recall just being really attracted to food, particularly sweets, when I was 4. And being overweight in my family was just not acceptable. It was a disease. It was not an infectious disease. It was a chronic illness that had to be overcome no matter what. And that's what I lived for most of my life. It was something that was very much part of my growing up, from diets and nutritional supplement meals and to diet pills when I was a child, amphetamines. And then it was, I started gradually taking over that self-loathing, that sense as a teenager and then as a young adult, and on into 300 pounds at age 40 that I kept on me for a decade. Sorry, it started at 35. And then finally, weight loss surgery because I had run out of options. And I felt like being overweight was the worst thing that could occur to anybody. And it turned out it was not the worst thing. The worst thing was the people I hurt with my obsession with weight, with my, deciding that it was up to me, that the only answers I had were up to me. And I didn't come into the rooms until I was, let's see, it was 2019. I think I was 55, and I'm 70 now. No, that couldn't be right. Sorry, 60. I lose the math. That's not my superpower. I'll admit that right now. I hope extemporizing is my superpower right now. But when I came in, I've run out of options again. Weight loss surgery didn't do it for me. It didn't take away the urge to binge. It didn't take away the cravings. It didn't take away the mental and the emotional, the physical, and I started gaining the weight I'd lost. I was a normal weight, and then gradually it started creeping back up. And I think when I was close to 200 pounds, I finally had this silent kind of, I'd love to call it a blinding flash of something. It was more just this quiet desperation that they talk about. And I was standing in the kitchen preparing for my next keto diet and pulling the binge foods and the snack foods and all those things out of the refrigerator and the pantry. And I said, "This is insane. I don't have another diet in me. I just." And someone had 12-stepped me a few months earlier, a friend who's in AA, and we've been on a great retreat together, a 12-step retreat. And she and I were together, and she ordered lunch, and she asked the server, "What's in this? And tell me about this." And I listened. And then after the server left, I said, "What was that about?" She said, "Well, I'm in recovery for food addiction, and this is how I live. I've been doing it for 20 years." And I was going, I can't imagine this to, get that bold in a restaurant. It started me thinking. And then I started looking at literature. And then came that moment where I said, I can't do it by myself anymore. And that's when I got onto phone meetings. I found face-to-face meetings near me and found a sponsor and began working the steps. Here's what I've learned. It took me a long time to shed that notion that I better do this perfectly. And I had volumes on my writings on each step. And it was so important for me to think that my sponsor was in awe of all my revelations, my honesty, my insight. And I can talk a good game. And, of course, part of me hopes I'm talking a good game right now, hoping that you're going to be blown away by my intuition and my experience, strength, and hope. I don't know. I don't know. All I know is when I took on sponsees, I'd love to say I didn't expect that of them. I'd love to think more that they were blown away too by my experience, strength, and hope.
10 minutes, play.
Thanks, Mary Joy. What I am learning as I go along, it's the honesty I had in February about having relapsed and finally admitting that to sponsees and all of you. It's about not trying to be the smartest person in the room or the most recovered person in the room. It's about finding who I'm going to put my hand, whose hand I'm going to put my hand in today, and what I'll hear on a meeting, what tools I'll use, what willingness I have to do a 10-step inventory and send that to a sponsor and a fellow, and just showing up every day to somehow find a way to help someone, whether it's my husband, whether it's a friend, whether it's one of you all, and to listen, to listen. That's not my superpower. I'm already anticipating. Oh, I wonder if I'll get any heart emojis. Oh, I wonder if people want my number after this. Oh, I don't know. Most days nobody wants my number. Oh, got a heart emoji. I just saw it. No, it's not. It's not about, oh, wait, whoa. It's not about that. It's about relaxing into this. It's about saying, here's what I got. I got honesty in the first step. I got a sense that it's not all up to me and that there is a better way, like there was when I said I have no more keto diets in me. Somebody lead me to this thing that my friend 12-stepped me into. And the third thing, over and over again, okay, help me to trust that I can lean into something greater than myself. And it goes on and on. It's a blueprint for me, not just on how to live for the rest of my life, but today. And that's the focus I have today after each share, after each reading I do in the morning. It's for today. It's for today. That's how I've gotten from February to now. It's just going, you know what? This is all I got. And some days, oh my God, it's great. It's so joyful. And I'm more and more, I'm taking joy out of the smallest things. And then in the past week, it's like, oh God, here I am, stuck in resentment, stuck in fury and fear and rage and all those emotions that I felt I had to protect myself, I had to justify them, or I had to shame myself or walk with all those things that were the lifelong pattern that took me back into food. And what I experienced was a turnaround. I put my hand in someone else's and said, I can't do this. I'm scared. I'm going back into a way I used to live before. Food, hatred, anxiety, fear, all those things that I think we all experience. I mean, I hope we don't, but I would be pretty sure that other people here can say the same thing. And there was a turnaround. And a turnaround is one of my favorite expressions here. I did start asking for help. I did call up people and just go, I know you don't want to hear this, but I'm going to tell you I'm in trouble here. And I just hope other people will call me and have the same, be able to drop the fear and say, I think Blair would want to hear what I have to say. And a lot of times I'm saying to other people, you know what? You are teaching me. I'm better able to continue with my recovery because you've called me up to be honest with me. And that is really what it's all about for me today, was getting through that hard week with someone that I really resented a lot and wanted to stay stuck in that. And I started just saying, before I reach for the phone, I don't know and I need help. That was my prayer. It's an old timer AA prayer that I've referenced a lot in the last 4 months, 5 months. So I don't know, 4 minutes, almost 5 minutes. And I guess the thing I want to express is gratitude that each of you is willing to get on this meeting and share what your truth is. Sometimes it feels really harsh, and sometimes it feels so full of joy. And you know what? I'm inspired by all of it. There is a place for me to say to you all, God, I screwed up. God, this is so hard. And other times go, you know, that little greeting card sentiment of, I found joy. Oh my God. You know, Mary Joy, that's going out to you. I found Mary Joy too. It's every day. I don't know what each day is going to bring. I just ask. You know, some days it's a narrow path, and sometimes it's so broad and inclusive. And it brings tears, I'll be honest, because it's in some ways it's living better than I ever suspected was possible. And some days it's just sitting quietly without the food and going, I think there are resources. I think I can sit with this. I think I can get solutions. And sometimes it's just by myself and asking for help. And sometimes it's reaching out to all of you and saying, here I stand. Here I am. And I hope you can accept me just as I am. And maybe you've got some solidarity here for me, or maybe you can just confirm that I'm not hopeless, that I'm not, you know, like the worst mistake that's ever been made in the world. And somehow that's helped me stay abstinent. Because I will tell you, cravings do not necessarily go away. But the wish to act on these things and get just really involved with food and not feel the discomfort, the pain, the fear leads me to something else. Those times are much shorter, they're much further apart. And here I am with, what was it, Judy, 2 minutes notice? I don't know. I hope there is something here that resonates. And if it doesn't, maybe you'll have the courage to call me up and say, gotta practice that, girlfriend. Gotta maybe get a little more rehearsal there. Maybe write out a script. You know, just say, you know, not extemporizing may not be in my bandwidth, but you know what? It's all good. Maybe I'm just talking to myself.
2 minutes
But I
at
sh
play.
thank you, Mary Joy. I sure do love all of you all. And there's some people maybe I don't resonate with every day. But God, I'm so glad you're here. Thank you. Thanks for letting me just ramble and just be myself. And then there's little heart emojis. Don't do that. Okay, here comes one. I see. Oh gosh, thank you. I'm needy. I'll be honest, I'm needy, and try not to lead with that. But you know, here I am. And a quote I love says, speak the truth, even if your voice shakes. Absolutely my deal today. And I hope you'll speak your truth, even if your voice shakes, or even if you're feeling super confident. And hope to hear your reflections and your experience and strength and hope and desperation and anything else, because that's why we're all here, right? Thank you, Judy, for asking me to speak.